Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's pretty clear the Missouri Tigers have one thing that a whole bunch of other tournament teams wish they had. That's one player the Tigers can give the ball to at the end of the game to go win the game. Drew Smith provided a moment for the ages at a point in the season Mizzou really needed it. Tigers win 72-70 in dramatic fashion at Florida, Mizzou's biggest win in over a month. We'll talk about what this means. While the Royals are bringing back a bunch of players from their World Series years, don't hold your breath it's going to look anything like 7 years ago. Wade Davis struggles in his latest outing, much like he's struggled the last 2 years. We're all pulling for him, but it seems like a long shot at best. A search warrant has been issued for the so-called black box in the car Tiger Woods was driving when he crashed. The judge that signed off says there's probable cause for the warrant, and now we're all left guessing what that is. Cancel, cancel, cancel is the story of the week. Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelor, gives a cringeworthy apology, but now he's back on the show. This involved the word plantation. Greg McDermott, the basketball coach at Creighton, offered to resign over using the word plantation. And if you can believe all this, liberal Jimmy Kimmel is left to be the voice of reason why this is all nuts. I'll have that for you. Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, goes after Joe Biden for driving wedges between Americans. And a rookie congressman has a new slogan on her mask that is turning heads. All that, and Baker Mayfield says he saw a UFO. Where are you going to get all this other than KKHI? Brought to you by Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems. Make your building great again. Whether it's a school, a church, an office building, a warehouse, you're spending thousands to heat and air condition your building, and Elite Automation can save you money. They can do this through consulting, which costs you nothing. They just share in what you save. Or you could put in a new control panel that will take care of all of your HVAC needs and save you thousands and thousands of dollars right away. What is your building costing you? Elite Automation can let you know for free. Give them a call. They'll come out and do a diagnostic for you and see what you got going and how they can save you money. Your business needs to make more profit. Let's do it. Elite Automation can help. Online at EliteAutomate.com. BeStock.net, the online superstore for electronics. Now with a retail outlet store in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Here's what Chris and the gang have this week. 55-inch frame series. These are the ones that mount on the wall, and they look like a picture frame. You put things up on them, it looks like artwork on the wall. You can't tell it's a TV. They're really cool. I'm just learning about them. $13.99 at Best Buy. Okay? Best Buy's price match guarantee at Best Buy, $1,399. Yeah, Best Buy, you're going to have to rethink that. $9.99 in the store at bstock.net. 14680 South Flaming Road. You save $400 on that frame series, 55-inch 4K UHD from Samsung. Beautiful, beautiful wall art. And back9development.com, a real estate development company, as well as a licensed general contractor that customizes homes, office buildings, commercial developments, and now condominiums. The Solheim at Grandmere, the first project of its kind really anywhere in the Midwest. Great golf course condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course for a second home, an investment property, college kids, rental, upscale condominiums starting at $249. Check them out at back9development.com. The website is back9development.com or call TJ. He's the owner and developer, 785-236-0161. That's 236-0161 or online at back9development.com. Oh boy, did Drew Smith drive the hoop and get a win for Missouri. That's where we start right now on KKHI. Hit it!
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
We start with sports today and a big win for the Missouri Tigers. It's been a month since the Tigers have had something bigger on their resume for the NCAA tournament than the thrilling win at Florida, 72-70, as Drew Smith drives the basket underneath reverse layup to win it. Basically a buzzer beater. Buzzer beaters don't exist anymore because they always have something left on the clock and allow the other team to do something, which Florida had 7/10 of a second left, and that was not enough. This was just a tremendous individual basketball play. Drew Smith beating his man off the dribble, getting to the basket. The help defense came in the form of two more defenders who went to block the shot, and it would have been blocked if he went up for a layup. He goes under the basket, reverse layup, and in. and the Tigers with their biggest win in a month. 17 points, 9 assists, 6 steals for Drew Smith. The Tigers are now 15-7 overall, 8-7 in the SEC. And while this is not necessarily a signature win late in the year, this is a big win at just the right time. The Tigers will continue with a game against LSU and then on to the SEC tournament. But more than anything else, it's a really nice sign. The Tigers got off to a slow start, fell behind in the game at Florida, and you thought, wow, this is a team that's really been struggling. They're down 7-0 or whatever it was right out of the gate, and you thought, uh-oh, not good for Ole Mizzou. But they got control of that. They got a lead at the half. They carried a lead late in the game, and it was a kind of a game they won twice because the Tigers had an 8-point lead with just a little over 2 minutes to play in this game, and it evaporated, which is what happens in college basketball. It happens in the game of basketball, and you're playing on the road, and then the Tigers just rely on Drew Smith, and Konzo Martin goes to his man. They clear it out. He beats his man off the dribble and goes to the hoop. The Tigers win it 72-70, and the observation here is simply this is more like it. This was more Mizzou-like. It was good to see them play well. It was good to see them have a lead and control of a game, and then it was really good to see them win late because this is how you win in the NCAA tournament. So many games come down to the wire, and so many games rely on somebody making a play. One of the things we've talked about with the Kansas Jayhawks that they lack, that they've had in previous years, is somebody who can do this off the dribble and win a basketball game or make a play late that wins a game for you. And Drew Smith is that guy for the Missouri Tigers, and they clearly are not afraid to go to him. And what an outstanding basketball move. Not the most athletic player in college basketball, but very quick on the dribble and on the drive, and just a savvy guy with a big, big game. You know how to play basketball when you have a stat line like that. 17 points, including the game winner, 9 assists, 6 steals. This kid can play. This is a really fine basketball player, and it was great to see Missouri win in the fashion they did. Go close it out with a final win in the regular season, then the SEC tournament, and if Missouri can get back to playing like they were in January and December with some big wins, they'll feel really good going into the NCAA tournament. So this was a really good win for the resume. Florida and Missouri, mostly kind of identical seasons, I guess, or resumes, you would say, going into the game last night, but winning on the road, certainly a feather in the cap for the Missouri Tigers, and we got to give the nod of a really, really nice win for Ole Mizzou, and that's where we start today. I'm getting excited for some postseason basketball, fans in the stands, and a little March Madness, and I hope you are too, and it's good to see a couple of the local teams playing well or having big wins here in this past week. Kansas with the big win last weekend over Baylor, and of course Missouri now with a big win over Florida. Congratulations, and what a move by Drew Smith to win this game 72-70 over the Florida Gators. The Royals continue in spring training. They just continue winning 6-5, which isn't really the headline. It's a 5.5-inning game, so these spring training games and the results of the spring training games don't mean, well, they've never meant anything, and they mean less now, right? We've seen teams go tear it up in spring training and lose 100 games. We've seen teams win like 5 spring training games and then win 100 games. So there is no correlation between that, but it's worth noting. Royals win 6-5 in a 5.5-inning game. The pitching staff struggled in this game. Nobody had a clean line. Not one pitcher had a clean line. But of note is Wade Davis, who pitched an inning and didn't give up a run, but he gave up a hit and 2 walks. And that's the last thing you want to see. Wade Davis is not, when he was with the Royals, when he was at the peak of his career, he was certainly not a nibbler. Okay, a guy who nibbles at the strike zone and walks batters. He was a guy that came right at you and said, hit this. And you couldn't hit this. And when you're walking a couple batters and giving up a hit in spring training, you're nibbling. You're trying to be precise. It shows a lack of confidence in your stuff. That's a little disappointing. Now, it's early in spring. The Royals, this is a reclamation project, okay? Wade Davis has had nothing for over a year. He's had nothing. If he makes the team, I'll be surprised. If he has enough to make the team, I'll be surprised. The Royals have a lot of great young arms. Would surprise me if Wade Davis somehow finds his way onto this roster, okay? But the Royals were hoping for great things. They were hoping something fantastic was going to happen and that they'd find an arm slot or a position or rejuvenated velocity or something out of Wade Davis. And early returns are that that's not happening. So I know it's fun that all these former Royals are there. Gerard Dyson is now part of this deal. You know, Mike Minor, Irvin Santana, Greg Holland. It's nice to have these guys who were here during the glory years, And it's worth a shot at the end of their careers. If they're going to be successful somewhere, it might as well be Kansas City. And that was Greg Holland last year. That worked. He had a fine season in a COVID year. But thinking that Holland or Davis, even if they find something, and even though Holland was good last year, thinking he as much arm trouble as these guys have had and whatnot, thinking they're going to make it long-term over 162 games is wishful thinking. There isn't a guy in this equation that the Royals expect a lot out of other than Minor, and they've paid Minor some money. They expect him to compete for a starting job, and they expect him to be a real contributor here. But the other guys, reclamation projects, bit pieces, nobody's going to be relied on to be the horse, right? Kelvin Herrera retired this last week. He went on Twitter and said, I'm done after 10 years in the big leagues. That's it. I'm spent. I'm shot. I don't have it anymore. And my guess is we're pretty close on some of these other guys. But, hey, it's great to have him in camp. We'll see what the Royals decide with them. Maybe Bubba Starling fits in that category as well. We'll see if he makes the team. I doubt he will. I don't think people are thinking Bubba Starling is going to be part of this team. But we have all these names, all these people that have been around, and the Royals are very loyal. And they're like, if your career has anything left in the tank, we're going to have it right here in Kansas City. And that's nice to see and nice to give them a shot. But the early results for Wade Davis, not good. It was not a good inning for him, giving up the hit and two walks in an outing yesterday. Speaking about players at the end of their careers, I don't even understand. There's a lot of talk and chatter out there in football about Alex Smith continuing his NFL career somewhere other than Washington now as a backup. And there's seven or eight teams, I think, that want to talk to him about being a backup quarterback. And maybe this is Alex Smith staying in the game he loves. Maybe this is he's really smart and he really understands how to play quarterback. Maybe he's a guy you want on your team as your backup, because you know what he brings to the quarterback room. You know what he brings. Like maybe Jacksonville would be a good fit. They're going to draft the quarterback from Clemson. He's probably going to start right away. Alex Smith could be a great tutor to him, as he was a great tutor to Patrick Mahomes. Maybe that's what this is about. But Alex Smith has pretty much made more money than any quarterback in the league at this point. Now, a lot of these guys are going to go on and make more. But Alex Smith has just made a tremendous amount of money. He's had giant contracts. I mean, mega contracts. And money's not a factor. You just have to ask why. And I don't think Alex Smith has come out and said, I'm 100% playing. I want to keep playing. He's indicated that he has something left to give, and he's talking to teams. But the question would become why. Look, if he wants to sign on as a backup and tutor a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback, that's probably a really good role for Alex Smith. He's not a starting quarterback at this point in his career. And maybe he finds some real satisfaction in having spent that year with Patrick Mahomes. When he watches Mahomes win a Super Bowl, maybe he feels good that he had a small part in that. And maybe he's going to go off to Jacksonville or somewhere and be a backup quarterback and tutor a young guy. That'd be pretty cool. I wouldn't stand in his way, but I just keep asking the question, why are teams even talking to Alex Smith? It must be in a role like that. It can't be, we want you to be our starter, or we want you to come compete for the job. And as I'm watching this, and Alex Smith is now speaking out, and he's saying some things sort of politically, he's saying some things about the Redskins, and he's saying some things about Colin Kaepernick, who he knows well, and all these other things. This is the example of why Colin Kaepernick is not playing in the NFL. Okay? Colin Kaepernick is not willing to talk to teams about being the backup. And to be honest, you don't ever want your backup to be a distraction. You want your backup to be Alex Smith, somebody who comes in, is a leader, has a presence about him, has experience, and can tutor and mentor a young quarterback. Colin Kaepernick can't do any of that. And so many people keep asking, he keeps tweeting out, I'm still working out, I'm ready to play. Well, no, you're a social justice warrior. That's what you are. You're not a football player anymore. You're not serious about football. You will only talk to teams if they hand you the starting job and cater to you in your social justice message. And if you can find a team that will let you do that, you'll go play. It will be ugly because you're not very good. You're certainly not any good anymore. But this really is the exclamation point as to why character matters, mentoring matters. If you're going to be the backup, you need to be the quietest guy on the team. People don't know much about Chad Henne in Kansas City until he runs out on the field and plays. That's what a backup quarterback is supposed to be. The silent worker. You're there every day. You're putting the work in. You're getting the job done. But nobody really knows anything about you or talks about you. That's what you want in the NFL. And I guess Alex Smith could provide that. for the proper team. And it sounds like maybe he wants to stay in the NFL, but at this point, I just ask the question, why? A judge in California is asking the question why about Tiger Woods' car crash. Why did it happen? And now they have executed a search warrant for the computer information of the car. They're calling it the black box. There is no black box, but there's technology in the dashboard of these cars. They're all the computers and everything that are in them. They'll be able to find out the speed he was traveling, all the different stuff. The investigation is ongoing, and the judge who issued the search warrant or approved the search warrant says there is probable cause for this search warrant. We want to find out what the heck was going on. It seems to center around the fact that Tiger Woods has no recollection of what happened at all. That is now part of the police public statement. Tiger Woods has no recollection of what happened. And he hit a median 400 feet from where the car came to rest. That's a long distance, 400 feet. There were no skid marks. So it does not appear he slammed on the brakes or knew what was going on. This is a weird one. Nobody knows. I can't imagine. I've thought all along, was he on his phone? Is this distracted driving? We're all just left guessing at this point. Nobody knows, but there is going to be an investigation. There's been a search warrant executed and approved by a judge to get the information of what was going on with the car. Tiger Woods says he has no recollection of what took place. That's a little weird. Although he had blood on his face when they found him and, all the airbags went out. He got popped. It's not just his legs. You get dinged in these things when these happen, right? He has no recollection, but what they're focusing on now is there's no skid marks. What the heck happened? Did he fall asleep? Did he pass out? Doesn't sound like he had a medical event. Some people have, we hear these stories, people have heart attacks and lose control of the car and they never brake and then boom, hit something. Nobody seems to know. And the folks, the authorities in California are trying to find out what happened in this accident. For their part, it sounds like Tiger's doing okay, all things considered, with having a crushed right leg and being dinged up the way he has. He's not walking or anything like that at this point, but the rehabilitation will continue. They're trying to make sure that there's no infection and that he stays healthy and doesn't have clotting or infections or things like that. So Tiger Woods, by all accounts, doing a little bit better. We know what the golfers did last weekend. They all wore red. We love Phil Mickelson, who was playing on the PGA Tour Champions, and he represents Callaway and some other companies. Tiger Woods is Nike, of course. And Phil made a comment that there's nothing, not one piece of Callaway clothing that's provided to him that's red. So he went to like a Golf Galaxy or Dick's Sporting Goods and bought a red golf shirt and made a public statement afterwards, a joke to Tiger, because they are now friends. They used to be not friends. I wouldn't say enemies, but not friendly. They're friends now. And he said, Tiger, I wanted to wear this for you, but Callaway provides me with nothing. You owe me $59 for the shirt. That Phil had to go buy it. So, look, the pro golfers are out there supporting him, and everybody is hoping the best for Tiger Woods, and the authorities are now asking what the heck is going on here. We don't know what happened with this accident. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. We were in Joslyn's last weekend. Jessica upgraded to some new diamond stud earrings. She's very happy to have those new earrings. You can purchase small diamonds at Joslyn's, and in a couple of years when it's time to have an anniversary or something cool like that, you go back in and you trade them in and get the full value towards something else that you're buying. They're awesome at Joslyn's. We've upgraded her earrings a couple, three times. They're getting bigger and bigger. These diamond studs are getting bigger through the years, because nobody wants to go in and drop that kind of money, right? All at once. It's a pretty neat program they have. And we've been customers for years. You can do it too. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck's team is the best in Kansas City. There's a supervisor on the job every single day, every day. And the crew takes care of your property like it's their own property. They don't leave a bunch of nails in the yard and shingles and crap laying around when they go home at night. They clean it up constantly. They keep everything surrounding your home beautiful. And they do beautiful work. It's one thing it's expected to put in the roof that's going to work and it's got a long warranty and you're never going to have a problem with your roof. That's expected. That's a given. It's like artwork for Buck Roofing. It looks perfect when they're done with the job. These guys are really good. Online at rbuckroofing.com. Buck Roofing will fix the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in Kansas City. If you want the perfect smile, Fry Ortho is the way to go for your teenager or for yourself. You might want to consider Invisalign. Fry Orthodontics is Kansas City's specialist in Invisalign treatments. They are non-invasive. People don't know you're doing it, and they straighten your teeth and give you a beautiful smile. At Fry Orthodontics, your smile is really just the start. Your first appointment is free if you mention KKHI, 469-9191 for Dr. Jeremy and his team at Fry Orthodontics. And CBD-GC.com. This is Green Compass CBD. There is either no THC or well below the legal amounts. It's just traces. USDA organic. This is the best CBD products you can buy. Green Compass. Look them up. Check it out. Do the research. Green Compass is outstanding. They cost a little more, these products do, but they work great. They're the cleanest and the safest products that you can use. Stacy and Danny Higgins are friends of ours. We've known them for 20 years, and Stacy's doing this as a little side hustle. It's a great product. She believes in it. They both use it. Danny's in the painting business. He works for a living. His body aches, and he uses the roll-ons and the creams and loves it for pain relief and inflammation. They also have products for calming and focus. It's Green Compass CBD. If you want more information about these great products, go to Stacy's website, cbd-gc.com. That's cbd-gc.com. There's also a program there. You can work at home as a primary job or as a side hustle if you're interested in making some money. These are great products that you can sell to people that you know of getting on the ground floor of a new company. They're only 2 years old, and they've doubled their sales in their second year in an industry that's expected to be $20 billion by 2024. Ground floor opportunities exist at cbd-gc.com. Pretty good side hustle there on some great products. If you believe in them and you want to make some money, ask Stacy how to do so and check that out. Chris Harrison has decided he wants to make some money. He's the host of The Bachelor, and he walked away from The Bachelor because he made some comment to a contestant. I'm not going to get into the weeds of exactly what took place. A contestant went to something called a party at a plantation in the South like 3 years ago. And the name of the place was, let's just call it Kevin's Plantation. So a lot of things in the South have been, I used to go to vacation at a place called Reynolds Plantation. I've played a couple of golf courses in Myrtle Beach that had the name Plantation in them. But Plantation has been struck from our lexicon. It's gone. You can't use it. And so this discussion came up. Chris Harrison did nothing, and they came after him. And he's, in all likelihood, a liberal, right? And part of Hollywood. And it sounded like he was just, to hell with you, I'm out of here, I quit. That's what it sounded like. Now he's back, and he gave the pathetic apology that I was insensitive and my remarks were racist and I need to do better and I need to learn. And it just makes you squirm when you watch this stuff. And he's basically now owned by the far left and the race baiters. Once you've done what he does, you can never take it back. He's going to be labeled by these people a racist his entire life. He is going back to The Bachelor. They're having him back because, again, what he did not call for an apology. Okay? He is not a racist. Everyone knows he's not a racist. We've lost our way in this country. This is so bad. Greg McDermott, the basketball coach at Creighton, they lost to Villanova on Wednesday night and will finish second in the Big East. A quality basketball coach. Creighton's a fine program. McDermott knows absolutely what he's doing. Offered to resign because he used the word plantation around his players. Says it was insensitive. I didn't know. A couple of his players were really upset by it, but they didn't want him to quit. But he went to his AD and his president and said, I'll resign. If I'm a problem, I'll resign. I mean, that's unbelievable that he offered to resign over this. Here's the problem with all of this. This is new. Plantation is new. It's new. You can't use it. You can't use it. It's borderline N-word at this point. You can't use it. My question about all of this is, how in the world, I mean, let's just take this literally, okay? Let's put some common sense to this, and let's ask the question, how in the world are regular people, regular Americans, who go to work every day, and they're worried about raising their kids, and they're paying their bills, and they're doing right by people, and they're not racist, and they're living their best life, how are we supposed to keep up to date with people who do nothing all day but sit around and think about what to cancel next? Whether it's Dr. Seuss and his books, which Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have endorsed for years and have read to children. Obama famously said to a group of people, you know, pretty much everything you need to know about life and how to live your life is in a Dr. Seuss book. Now they want to cancel him. That was just a few years ago that he said that. How in the world are normal people who don't think about race, who don't wake up every day identifying as a group, that we don't wake up every day and think about race. How are we supposed to keep up with what is okay to say and not say? Because this stuff is now happening in months, not years. It's like happening in real time. Somewhere, somebody in California or New York right now, as you're listening to this podcast, is coming up with the next thing that you and I can't say. But what if I say it today, and 3 weeks ago, it became something that I'm not supposed to say? How are we supposed to keep up with this stuff? The eggs in a Dr. Seuss book are offensive? The eggs. The eggs in a children's book are offensive now. That's what this is about. The word plantation can't be used. Is it still in Webster's? In what context can we ever use the word plantation going forward? I want to know. Somebody give me a sentence. Give me an example. What is a proper context other than this sentence? You can't say the word plantation anymore. There's a sentence with the word plantation in it that apparently is okay. But that's it. The smartest guy on all of this right now, and I hate to give him credit, because he's kind of more than crazy on the left, is Jimmy Kimmel, who I don't watch. I don't watch the 10:30 shows anymore. They used to be funny, and it was entertaining and comedy, and now they're political shows across the board, all of them. I can't watch. I know you can't watch either. I can't watch. Can't be done. What would be kind of cool is if the Fox Network put some comedian on and did a show at 10:30 at night, because a lot of us have a tradition of watching these things and are still awake. Somebody that was conservative, that was the anti of the other three. It'd be pretty cool to see something like that. And not outwardly, like not having Josh Hawley on every night or something like that. Not outwardly. Just, you know, they're conservative. Their jokes are making fun of cancel culture, making fun of President Biden, as is the tradition of late night comedians to make fun of the president or politics. And you just kind of know they have their jokes are different than the other guys. Wouldn't that work for Fox? Wouldn't that work? Jimmy Kimmel went on Wednesday night and said of Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head and all the silliness we're now seeing. And I think the word plantation is close to that. It is. It's the discussion of Chris Harrison not being on The Bachelor or Greg McDermott not being the coach at Creighton because of the word plantation is comical. And Jimmy Kimmel said last night, he was not making a joke in a serious, well, he doesn't do jokes. He does politics. In a serious moment says, folks, you're crazy. You're handing the election to Donald Trump in 4 years. This is how Trump wins. You keep canceling Dr. Seuss. You keep on Mr. Potato Head. And you start in on plantation and you do all this stuff, all this cancel stuff. There are things to cancel people over. If somebody's caught on tape and they're busting out the N-word and it's just they're racist, you can tell they're racist, cancel them. I get it. The stuff we're seeing, Mr. Potato Head and Dr. Seuss, Kimmel's right. And he fired a warning to everyone on the far left. Don't be emboldened and empowered because you're in charge now. You're handing this thing back to the Republicans. Because regular people see this as insanity. To me, that's absolutely right. I think Kimmel's nailed it in his own weird sort of way. He's nailed it. And the big question becomes, how do we keep up with all this? I'm a little worried. I do a podcast. Am I going to say something that I was supposed to know that 2 months ago that became the thing you can't say? I mean, this is happening in real time. These terms, these words, these things that you can and can't endorse are popping up every single day. Dr. Seuss gets canceled, but a thruple, three men that are married in California, have a baby with two different women, one who donated the eggs, one that was a surrogate. Five people lead to the birth of a child, write a book about it. It becomes mainstream. We accept it. Everything's good. Life is great. But Dr. Seuss is banned. You can't make this stuff up. And normal people are going to see this and go, these people running this country are crazy. And Joe Biden's right at the top of the list. He's crazy on this stuff. He's referring to us now as Neanderthals because we want life to return to normal. Josh Hawley just rips into Biden. I mean, Biden's the biggest name caller there is. Hawley ripped into Biden, says, this is Mr. Unity. This is Mr. Unity. Yeah. And yet, if you disagree, you're a Neanderthal. He has called people who disagree with him Nazis. It's unbelievable. He calls himself a unifier. That's Josh Hawley. And he's exactly right. Biden is doing what Obama did. He's going to do everything he can to identify people, create conflict, You have your space. We have ours. You're wrong. We're right. I don't know who made them the authority on everything. I don't know how they can say plantation's a word you can't use. You can't read Dr. Seuss. It gets banned. Who put these people in charge of what we can say and what we can consume? It's one thing to say Congress is in charge. They passed H.R. 1, which is almost $2 trillion of stuff that's going to help them continue to get elected, basically, is what's in it. Okay, they're in charge. They can pass laws. They can do that. Who put this one group of people, the far left, in charge of what Americans can say and think? How did this happen? And anyone that tries to argue that the left doesn't have the media and big tech and all this stuff, all you have to know is they dominate every discussion, every debate, and every change in our culture that relates to what you can read, what you can say, what you can believe, what you can wear, and how you act. I mean, how is this happening? And why are we just rolling over and taking it? It's astounding to me that this happens. I mean, I think it's a serious question. How do we keep up with it all? I mean, should there be a website that lets us know so we don't lose our jobs or we don't get shunned by people in our church or our neighbors don't think bad of us? Is there some authority we can go to that, okay, you know, today is, you know, March 4th. What's the new thing today that I can't say? Tell me because I need to keep up with this. It's absurd. The whole thing is preposterous and ridiculous. And maybe it's all one big distraction so they can pass things like House Resolution 1 with $2 trillion supposedly in COVID relief. But what it is giant, and I'm for the feds coming in and having fair elections and overseeing this. I think that the big cheating and the scam in national elections happens at the local level. I'm up for some sort of, you know, authority on this or oversight, certainly, but not what they're proposing. They're trying to make law now what they just pulled off. They saw what worked at the highest level. Didn't work at the local level. They didn't gain in the House, right? They didn't win elections all over the country. The Democrats didn't gain anything, but they did get Trump out. And they see what keeps the president out, and these mail-in votes specifically, mailing ballots, getting people to fill out ballots that have no intention of voting on their own is their key. They know that's their key. That's what this bill is about. It's an absolute sham, and it's a shame. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, is that right? Who has been wearing a mask that says censored, that's all it says, censored, on her mask at the House. When she speaks, when she gets her 1 minute of time or whatever, she got rid of that mask yesterday and wore a new one. And she asked for 1 minute, and they had to let her speak. And she gets up, and she says, this $1.9 trillion, the Democrats better think about what they're doing here, okay? Because there's an Unequality Act in it that's harmful to women. The police in this country become targets now and susceptible to lawsuits. And it's the federalization of elections. And if you push this through, the Democrats are going to lose, was her message to them. It was an okay little speech. What got the headline was the mask she wore. She's been wearing a mask that says censored. Her new mask says, this mask is as useless as Joe Biden. Truly, that's exactly what it says. That's pretty funny stuff. It's pretty ballsy of her to go into Congress and wear that. Look, I don't think she's a great politician. People on the right love her. I mean, it's great what she's doing. She's no presidential candidate. She's no Rhodes Scholar. She's no great leader, but she's a rebel rouser, and I like her for it. And while that is, I wouldn't wear that. I believe in the office of the presidency. I can see where people love the fact that she did. I mean, it would say enough if it just said this mask is useless. That would be enough. But she put this mask is as useless as Joe Biden on her mask, and she wore it in Congress, and she got her minute of time and TV time, and everybody is talking about it. I sense that she's just going to continue to wear outrageous things on her mask, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with her doing it. She has every right to do it, just like the congresswoman from Colorado has a right to wear her Glock on her hip when she's in the House. I like that. They're making powerful statements that we've gone too far, and I'm all on board with those things. So, way to go. And we'll finish with something here today that is, I always like to finish something a little odd or absurd. Baker Mayfield, the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, was with his wife Emily in Austin, Texas, and he claims they saw a UFO. It's what he says. He put it right on Twitter. He says, almost 100% certain we just saw a UFO. And it was streaming toward the ground, and it was very bright, and, you know, all this stuff. So that, a lot of people saw that, and so some experts have called meteorologists in the Austin area and said, nope, nothing here. It's the weakest month of the year for meteor showers or anything like that. Nothing reported. Nothing. We don't know what they saw, but it was not there was nothing meteorological about it, is basically what the experts are saying. Baker Mayfield and his wife saw a UFO. I love it when people say, you know, we always, there's a difference between UFO and a flying saucer, right? UFO does not mean that there was Martians, right? Or some flying saucer from another planet. UFO is an unidentified flying object. It is what it says. There's something in the air and we don't know what it is. We see shooting stars. Where I live in West Lenexa, it's very dark out here at night. We don't have a lot of the city lights. And as we look especially toward the west where it's even darker, we see all kinds of stuff in the night sky. It's gorgeous, beautiful. When we visit Montana to see my sister and brother-in-law in Livingston, where only 7,000 people live on the Yellowstone River, a wonderful town. They live up on a hill, sort of outside of town. But there isn't much light that comes out of that town at night. And the Montana skies at night are unbelievable. It's just remarkable looking up in the night sky. And you see stuff all the time. Shooting stars, whatever they are. You can see, I mean, we watch the satellites at my house. We sit on the deck and we can see the satellites that are in outer space flying through the sky at night. You can see all kinds of stuff when it's really dark. I don't know what Baker Mayfield saw. I like the guy. I think he's good for football. I don't know if he's ever going to win a Super Bowl. And I will not make fun of somebody who said they saw a UFO, because what he didn't say is, I saw something that I know is a life form from another planet. He didn't say that. He said we saw something in the sky and we have no idea what it was, but it was bizarre. So I'm with Baker Mayfield on that one, on this edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.